Hi there, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to talk about counseling people with anorexia and bulimia and actually talk about eating and eating disorders. And we're going to talk about anorexia and bulimia and overeating, just eating in general. I want to try to build a theology of eating for you, eating food, body image for you. So we'll start out, first of all, with some definitions. Counseling those with anorexia and bulimia. Anorexia, bulimia, and overeating are the three most common sinful eating behaviors you'll see in your counseling ministry. All three have certain distinctions as well as commonalities. The Bible speaks to the roots of each of these types of behaviors. So whether it's overeating or starving yourself or binging and purging, the Bible talks about all of these things. Now, as a biblical counselor, you should not be intimidated by medical sounding labels such as anorexia nervosa or bulimia. These are not diseases, but rather are behaviors that may result in a disease. So anorexia is a behavior that results in a disease. You can address both of these behaviors by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me give you some secular definitions of these things. Anorexia is voluntary self-starvation, which may have periods of binging or purging and results in a weight loss of 20% of optimal body weight. So if you're 20% or more underneath the weight that you should weigh for your body frame, then you've been starving yourself. And that's how it, one of the ways that it could be tested. Bulimia is habitual binge eating followed by periods of purging using self-induced vomiting, laxatives, over-exercise, or sleep. So we have those two behaviors. And let me just say that these behaviors are so very common, particularly among young women, not necessarily only women, though, but particularly among young women. I was talking, and this was a number of years ago, I was talking to a woman who was telling me that at a Christian university, and the woman knew someone who was a resident dorm counselor, and she said that between 60 to 80% of the girls in the dorm struggled with some sort of eating disorder. So this is not nothing. It's really quite common, and I think that probably over the years, it has become more and more common, and not just among women. So, what are some of the general principles about eating that we can glean from Scripture? Well, the Bible defines an inordinate love of or focus on food and eating as gluttony, and it gives warnings against it. Now, you know, we can say, this is not something I know anything about. I'm not anorexic. I'm not bulimic. How can I help someone who's struggling with this? Well, here's the reality. All of us, each one of us, struggle with food, with eating in some way. We all do in some way. And so what we want to do is say, okay, these behaviors, they may seem quite odd to us, but the reality is there are a lot of things in our own lives that we can relate to when it comes to this sort of thing. So don't feel like, oh, anorexia or bulimia is not something I could help somebody with. Now, certainly there are people who are trained in it and more skilled in it. But as a pastor or a biblical counselor, you can certainly be of assistance and help because you know what it's like to struggle with food and eating and diet. And as I said, particularly now. So the Bible talks, see, the Bible speaks to everything we need to know to love God and our neighbor. And so the Bible talks about food, and it calls this overemphasis on food love of food, love of eating, gluttony. That's what it calls it. And so if you think about it as gluttony, there are places in Scripture that talk about that. Proverbs 23:20 and 21 says, "Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." So I want you to see something here. The Bible warns about being with people who are drunkards or gluttonous eaters of meat. What does that mean? It means that it's a learned behavior. So don't hang around with people like that. Don't hang around with people, Proverbs tells the wise son. Don't hang around with people like that, because if you do, you'll become like them. Proverbs 28:7 says, "The one who keeps the law is a son with understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father." Now, I just need to say something about Jesus here. Jesus was a companion of gluttons, but he could do that because rather than having their unholiness affect him, he made them holy. But for us, you know, have you ever been around somebody who really loves a certain kind of food? And you know that if you're going to go with that person, you're going to eat whatever that food is. We learn those behaviors from one another. And that's another important issue, which is anorexia and bulimia are learned behaviors. They're not things that we just wake up one day and say, okay, I should do that. They're learned behaviors. And actually, they have been around for thousands of years. In ancient Rome, they used to have vomitoriums, places where people who overate would go and they could purge. So this is nothing new. It's not anything new. Here's this terrifying passage from Deuteronomy 21 about parents who bring their son to the elders. "They shall say to the elders of his city, 'This, our son, is stubborn and rebellious.'" Listen to how he's talked about. "He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard." And so then when they would bring the person into the elders of the city for that, they would do that in order to stone them. Now, fortunately, praise God, we don't have any record of that ever happening in Israel. It's not to say it never did. It's just never recorded for us, thankfully, because that's terrifying. How horrible would it be to have to do that with your own child? And yet, look at how it's talked about. It's talked, every one of these passages, it's not just gluttony by itself, it's gluttony and drunkenness together. These are both sins of the flesh. They're both physical manifestations. And so overeating and overdrinking alcohol, they go together. Sins of the flesh, they're the gratification of the physical body. So the Bible, let's talk now about what the Bible teaches about food and why God gave it to us. The Bible teaches that food was created for both sustenance and pleasure. So food is given to us to sustain us, but food is also given to us for pleasure. That's why we have taste buds, and we can taste whether something is hot or cold or crunchy, or salty, or sweet, or creamy. See, we're able to differentiate between eating ice cream and fried chicken. Why? Because God has made us able to taste and enjoy food. Listen to these passages. Deuteronomy 14:26. This is what the Israelite could do with basically what was the third tithe during a time of celebration of the feast. "Spend the money for whatever you desire." This is how the Bible is telling the people what they can do with that third tithe. "Spend the money for whatever you desire, oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household." In other words, have a feast day and do it any way you want. So you take this money that you have offered to the Lord and you go buy the meat that you want, whatever kind of bread or whatever else you want, and whatever kind of drink you want, you buy that and You use it for yourself,